This is Laura Dierda with the Becker's Payer Issues podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Rodrigo Cerda, Vice President of Clinical Care Transformation at Independence Blue Cross in Pennsylvania. Dr. Cerda, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you very much. Really a pleasure to be here.
Now, I know we have a lot to talk about in terms of some of the big things happening in healthcare right now, as well as for Independence Blue Cross. But before we dive into our discussion, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, to start, I'm an internal medicine doc and a public health practitioner. And for the past 2 years, as you've said, I'm the Vice President of Clinical Care Transformation at Independence Blue Cross here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I lead a team that's focused really on improving value of care for our members in collaboration with our clinical care provider network. We're focused on three main things, I would say. Number one is aligning incentives with providers to make sure that it's financially sustainable to provide the kind of outcome-focused care we need. Number two, on really rolling up our sleeves and contributing to improve value, quality, experience, cost through things like case and condition management, provider communications and experience, joint value committees with provider system, population health, in conjunction with primary care. And then number three, through clinical care innovation function that's really focused on working together with our providers and allowing us to innovate at scale. I'm happy to talk more about that later. In general, I feel really fortunate to be where I am, coming back to Philadelphia, where I went to medical school, really having an opportunity to bring together experience in clinical practice and public health and in business and coming back into this role that's really focused on improving the way care is delivered at an institution that's really fully committed to the outcomes that we want to drive.
That's fantastic. And really, it sounds like you've got an interesting role there at Independence Blue Cross. And I'm wondering, in thinking about the value of care and how that is being communicated and evolving for physicians and other providers, how do you imagine that is going to change, especially given some of the pressures added to the healthcare system from the pandemic?
Look, I think the pandemic, if anything, has really just helped to focus us even more on the things that we knew were the right things to do. We knew before the pandemic that getting people access to care at the right place, right care, right place, right time was essential. We knew that we needed to be able to bring care out of the hospital and into the home. We knew we needed to use digital tools and to enable, more access to things like telemedicine and telemonitoring. And, you know, the pandemic kind of came in and really turbocharged all of that, right? We had pressure on hospital capacity and had to think really together with our entire network about how do we get people out of the hospital safely? How do we take care of them better in the home? Things like telemedicine and telemonitoring, again, using digital tools to access healthcare has really boomed during the pandemic. And to the surprise of not only some of our members, but even some of our providers, they found that it worked really well. And it's a really good complement to in-person care. This is, as they say, you shouldn't let a good crisis go to waste. I feel like it has been a huge stress on our health system, but it's also potentially a catalyst for positive change. The one thing I would add actually that I obviously can't neglect here is in the pandemic, the fee-for-service model of care, where the more you do, the more you get paid, also really didn't work. Right, we had conversations with primary care practices early on in the pandemic that were struggling financially and thinking about laying off some of the people working in their offices because their revenues were down. A lot of hospitals struggled a lot because their sort of revenues dependent on procedures. And, you know, so that is where value-based programs. So, you know, obviously that's the wrong answer for both, right? We're in the middle of a pandemic. We shouldn't be thinking about shutting down healthcare resources. So, you know, this is where models of care that pay for outcomes will be better suited. And I think in some ways, you know, providers are kind of have greater appetite for looking at paying for outcomes because it allows them to focus really on doing the right thing for their patients.
That's a really great point, and thank you so much for going through that. Now, how are you thinking about growth for Independence Blue Cross in the next 12 months or so?
It's a good question. I'll caveat that I'll answer from kind of my perspective in clinical care transformation. But what I see, you know, a few categories. I think one is when we look at growth within the region of Independence Blue Cross, you know, the five counties around Philadelphia. Part of the reason why I'm really excited about helping us grow is that you know, as the largest payer in this region, we have really the greatest influence, the greatest potential to collaborate with and influence the provider network. And the greater share of panel that we have, the better and more productive those collaborations are. So we spend, you know, a lot of time working with providers on, hey, what do we want the models of care really to look like? How do we need to adjust the way we pay to do that? How can we collaborate on investigations? And, you know, the more members and patients we share, the greater the fruits of those, of that work can really be. I think, you know, on a national level, you know, we certainly have a lot of customers that are based here and have patients everywhere. I would like to see us, and in particular in the Blues, the Blue Cross Blue Shield plans, really make the most of the fact that we are local everywhere, and we've got that market power in each one of the locations, and we have the ability to drive value-based care in a way that I think, you know, no other payer really can. So I think for us, you know, we have to think about how we tell a good, consistent, quantitative story about the impact that we're having through value-based care initiatives around the Blues, to really account for that kind of value that we're generating at each one, especially as we look at, you know, I want to be able to tell, you know, my customer base here who has a member in, say, Indiana, exactly what value the plan in Indiana is at. So I think that's another one. And the third one is as the role of a health plan evolves, one of the places that we really should be playing a role, you know, beyond insurance, which is a shrinking part of our business at this point, is really in helping our members navigate healthcare, and advocating for those members, and really helping them get that right care, right place, right time. We are in the best position to do that, given that we are making medical policies, we are designing benefits, we have a lot of data that can help target our interventions, you know, we're kind of in a space where healthcare is very difficult to navigate. So I think that's a place where, you know, we really should be going into, you know, as a service, whether or not it's tied in with insurance per se.
Got it. That really makes a ton of sense. And, you know, I'm sure will be very helpful for members, especially as they're, you know, gaining access to health insurance and healthcare services, and then trying to figure out, you know, where the best place is for them, especially in the value-based environment. Now, thinking about healthcare in general, what are the most interesting issues that you're following right now?
Well, I can think of a couple. One, and I've started to touch on it. One, I think, is virtual care. And this is one of those things where that has been only accelerated in the pandemic, as people have been forced really to stay at home. But, you know, again, how can we really make the most of the fact that both providers and our members have used digital tools to access healthcare, and whether it's telemedicine, telemonitoring, different kinds of e-triage, to really get that right care. That I think is a really exciting space, and there's a lot of new technology that can enable us to do it better. Thinking like artificial intelligence enabled chatbots that can kind of help you find care in one place or another, the ability to have more seamless scheduling of provider visits, the ability to do kind of more sophisticated targeting of our members who might, have a rising risk or be at particularly high risk of doing poorly in the next few weeks on a predictive basis, kind of getting in there early and saying, trying to intervene and help them before it gets to the point of needing a hospitalization. And so I think, that potential of going from where today, most plans might be able to answer, hey, if you want an orthopedist, an in-network orthopedist, we can give you a list of 50, orthopedists that are orthopedic surgeons that are nearby. But what we can get to is to the point of being able to ask, why do you need an orthopedist? What's going on? Is there something we can help you with? Can we help you to find exactly the right side of care? Right. And maybe if we can ask a few questions, we can help you say, hey, this sounds like it might be something that could your primary care, rather than waiting, 3 months to see an orthopedic surgeon, can we get you in to see your primary care doc tomorrow? Or do you want to see somebody through telemedicine later today that can help you talk through what's going on, given the way that you've answered these questions? And then you might be able to identify that, their knee pain was more related to sort of weight gain than to, something that's going to require surgery. And you go down a whole different path of really helping them think about nutrition and all the other risk factors that might come with that. So that, I think, is a super exciting space. The second one I would say is behavioral health. I think, again, this is one of those areas that we've known for a long time really had a degree of underinvestment, and it's always been difficult to access behavioral health services, and has carried with it some degree of stigma. I think now behavioral health, it has increasing momentum in that there's greater recognition of the impact of behavioral health on physical health, on people's ability to live productive and happy lives. And certainly during the pandemic, all the stresses associated with the pandemic have, again, taken something that we knew was really important and really just sharpened that focus for us. So I would say behavioral health and increasing investment in this space is really exciting in healthcare now.
Got it. That's really fantastic to hear. And now, before we wrap up our conversation, I have one more question for you. What are you most excited about today, and what makes you nervous?
Good questions. Hard to pick one on each, but I'll do my best. One thing I am particularly excited about that we've been building is our clinical care innovation function here at Independence. It is You know, we are all going towards, you know, this these goals of increased, of better quality, better experience, greater equity, lower costs. But exactly how to execute that is tricky. And that requires us trying new things on, you know, trying to deliver care in a slightly different way, engaging with members or with patients in a slightly different way, and really optimizing how that's done. And so part of what we've tried to do is set up a systematic way to be able to build business cases for, hey, what are the targets that we really want to go after? If we, you know, what are all the ideas that we could get to do that? We prioritize that. We make business cases how to do that. And we think about how to scale it from the beginning. And at this point, we're really, we're growing in momentum. We've had several pilots that are giving us good results, whether it's, you know, a new way of operating to keep people out of the emergency room, helping people manage symptoms from their chemotherapy medications, helping expectant mothers and postpartum mothers, with managing problems with high blood pressure in the peripartum time. So I think that is something that's really exciting, you know, that it's varied, and it really is helping us figure out what works and make that journey towards higher value care. In terms of what makes me most nervous, I don't know about nervous, but I would say a challenge that we have as we move towards paying providers more for outcomes, that is, you know, quality, experience, cost, and that adding, you know, adding in equity in particular, we at the same time as health plans are increasingly getting paid by our customers in something that is more similar to fee for service, and I say that in the self-funded space, where an employer would pay a health plan to manage the claims and some of the services around their employees' healthcare. We don't take on the full risk for total cost of care, you know, plans in general that don't have as much skin in the game per se on the harder outcomes of you know, on cost, quality, experience. So that I think is a challenge for us as we move more towards the self-funded space. And I think what we need to get to is we need to get to the point where rather than you know, like what our providers are moving towards, right? Rather than selling only the services, right, that we're doing, we should be thinking about selling and guaranteeing and putting skin on the outcomes of saying, you know, our job is to deliver to you, the customer of an employer, really that cost, quality, experience, equity, and our fees should be contingent on that. And that's a challenge that I think we all have as we evolve in this space from insurance to increasingly self-funded, and reconcile that with the movement towards value-based care for providers.
Got it. I think that's just fascinating to think about. And as the healthcare system shifts, you know, obviously you're all prepared, but then also shifting with it. Dr. Serdar, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, and I look forward to it as well.